One thing is that when you get caught up in the daily routine of camp, sometimes you forget to kind of go through every single step. But that idea, that spirit, is still the same. A few things here that I'm kind of going to run down here to give you a few explanations of what everything is. We live in a campsite, and the structures that we live in we call tents, made of wood, tarp for the, like a vinyl tarp for the roofs and stuff like that. There, we at Fairplay Camp School, we have four groups. Each group has 10 campers and a two chiefs, and there is a schedule where each chief will have an off-duty of several days on one side of the weekend and then overlapping in the middle. Right now, I believe the camps are having their Wednesday evening vespers, kind of like what we're doing, and then they'll go back down trail for everything else. All right, boys will stay at camp for around 5 weeks at a time, and then they'll go home to their families for about 5 days. Those 5 days and 5 weeks put together is called a session. And so when I talk about a session, or it's basically a time of measurement there. Now, yes, boys will be there 24/7 for that amount of time, but as far as the total amount of time that they are at camp, it varies per boy. Sometimes it can be as short as a year and a few months. Sometimes if the boy really needs more of camp's help, or if their families aren't quite ready for them to come home, there's also some communication and counseling there. Sometimes a boy can be at camp for up to 2 years, or maybe a little longer. It's not really recommended that a boy stays at camp for quite that long, but that's okay. Boys learn to deal with hard things in their lives and deal with bad habits and attitudes by living with the group, learning to get along with them, working hard, and having fun. You can't really have camp and just say we're going to work hard and to be a boot camp and stuff like that. We believe it's extremely important to be outside, to interact with nature, to appreciate nature, and have fun. You will see grown men, you know, guys in their 30s working as supervisors, getting down in the dirt and helping a boy play with something, or running around playing a running game as if he was 10 again. It's a lot of fun to see. I have a video at the end where you will see some of that happen that really catches the spirit of camp. Some of the things that they do around camp, you will have tent building. We build all of those by hand, cut them down with crosscut saws, cut them up, and split any wood that we need. Cutting and splitting wood, improving campsite, and sometimes even helping improve the main area. All the different types of work that a boy can do there at camp. Another thing that they learn is planning. So they will plan their daily activities. One day a week, we'll sit down in our chuck tent. It's the one there on the left. We use that for eating, any type of schoolwork, etc. And we'll plan our daily activities for the next week. Another things that we plan are trips, and I have a lot of pictures of those. They're a lot of fun. Types of trips that we take are river trips in a canoe, bus trips. I never had the opportunity to take one of those. Hiking trips or raft trips. I only know of one or two groups that have done this. One was back 50 plus years ago, and another one was just a few years ago from Bald Eagle Boys Camp. They did, I believe it was the Ohio River. They spent close to 8 weeks on a raft. It was pretty amazing. Another things, like I've learning to work, working hard. I had campers that loved working. Sometimes they would rather work than do something else because they thrived on some of that stuff. The schoolwork focus, it's not quite as much of a focus on conventional school. When we do our plans or planning out the daily activities, each boy will write either one or two page articles describing what they do there, and then it's up to us chiefs to help grade and teach better spelling, better grammar, etc. Hobbies, crafts, it's a big thing. Carving, learning guitar, sometimes, you name it. If a boy gets excited about it, it's a good chance that there will be a staff member who's willing to put in several hours worth of work to to figure out how this thing's done, and then go help the boy and help him through that. Another thing that they learn to do is evaluate. Many times throughout the day, we'll stop and say, hey, how did that go? Did it go well? Great. What did we do then to make it good? Or if it's the opposite, if it didn't go well, then, hey, you know, Johnny and Billy weren't working. Maybe next time we need to have everybody working so we don't get in a problem. At the end of every day, though, we do go down to a special area we call powwow, have another log area down there, light a little fire, sing a few songs, and have another longer evaluation session. And that's the last thing that we do in the day. That's our chief's tent. I think that was in a time of transition when we didn't, one of the times that I might have not have had a full-time co-chief down there all the time. That is one way that we fasten our tents together. Cut two notches, skin it down with a draw knife, and then use a good old-fashioned brace and bit, and hammer a dowel peg in there. And if you do it properly, it's not gonna come apart for a long time. That is a good example of some of the nicest notches that you're ever going to see. Our group was really proud of how we did that. That's our cook tent. And then you'll see some pictures later as to our makeshift cook tent. That's a wood corral out about 100 feet outside of our campsite for storing any types of wood. Our old cook tent, which was in pretty bad shape. And that's the new fireplace. It was a lot of fun. It was pretty hard work to get all those things put into place. They're sent using either rasps or small hand planers to sand down the surface of that table. We spent a lot of man and boy hours on that. This is where we would normally do any wood splitting or cutting, stuff like that. It's another corral right close to campsite. We like pizza, especially in Dutch ovens, and so I have several pictures of that. All right, that was at the end of a river trip, and I'm gonna leave it on something a little bit nicer. At this time I'm going to stop, pause, and give you a chance to ask any questions about something that you didn't quite understand or something that you are curious about. Daryl.
Did you fell all those trees by hand?
Yes, with a crosscut saw. You would tend to make a notch depending on which way you wanted the tree to go, and then cut the rest of the way. There were some times that supervisors would go and cut some trees down for firewood and stuff, but it was mostly with a crosscut. There was when that new wood corral outside of campsite, we cut down 6 to 8 large poplar trees, an average of this size. It was brutal. Anyone else? Marvin. Yes, good question. That is one part of doing everything together. Each boy has a chance to give an idea, to give his input if he has a special game or some type of activity that he likes to do. He has an equal chance of giving his idea. Sometimes when we're figuring out our work schedule, boys will have a chance. Hey, you know, maybe we can cut more. Maybe we can cut more wood than we did last week. Let's try it. Everybody has an equal chance in planning out what the group does. In that area of South Carolina, snow was kind of rare. We had a lot more ice, But sometimes it was best just to say, hey, let's put our tools down. Let's go have some fun. If it was raining, that really tended to put a little bit more of a crunch on, especially depending on if we wanted to go outside of campsite to go do something, depending on our schedule, stuff like that. Oftentimes, we would try to make sure boys stay dry. That is another thing that as a chief, I was told at the towards the beginning, is that one of your main jobs is to keep your boys fed, dry, and comfortable. If you're not doing your job properly on some of those main things, you're kind of missing the point with some of the other things. So yeah, if we got outside of a chuck wagon after breakfast and it's raining, we'd haul down trail, change into our ponchos and water boots if we didn't have them on already, and we'd do something that would help us to stay dry. And it always depended. Sometimes the rain would help boys get motivated. Sometimes it was the easiest thing just to go kick up a fuss and make the whole group go stand out in the rain. If those days it was really hard to lead a group because you had to be very focused on what you knew needed to be done and not just get stuck trying to put out little fires. Anyone else? Yes. Good question. I just forgot the first question, sorry. The waiting list. We usually had a decent waiting list for our camp. There were sometimes, depending on scheduling conflicts, sometimes we would only have maybe 9 boys for a session or two, but there was usually a decently long waiting list. As far as how many camps and where they're located, this would be 7 of them in the U.S. and 1 in Ireland. Camp Comora would be the one in Ireland. There's a girls' camp in South Carolina as well. There's a boys' and girls' camp in North Carolina, one in Ohio, one in Pennsylvania, and one in Maryland. And those are, it's under the Wilderness Road Therapeutic Camping Association. Not necessarily an Anabaptist one, but comprised of Christians. That's about the best way that I can explain that. We'll take yours yet.
The next picture, you showed somebody with you. What's his name?
That would be my first co-chief, Cliff Stalsfus. He would have gone there from West Virginia, I believe, and he's actually back there supervising right now. So I think there was another hand. I'll get you here in a little bit. All right. I became interested in camp when Justin gave a presentation here along with Chief Judd Schrock. I had always enjoyed being with kids. I had been helping with RISE for quite a while by then, and I felt, yeah, this is something that I want to do. I was excited about it. I called camp, and in late May of 2013, I went down there. And it was an interesting transition. The group that I went into was in the middle of kind of middle aged as far as camp. The youngest boys at camp are usually around 8 or 9 when they come in, and the oldest ones are 15 or 16. So the group that I went into had boys anywhere from 10 up to 13. Was kind of the general age gap there. So yeah, I started camp with lots of excitement, although looking back on it, I was not fully aware of what all was in store. You can hear stories, but until you're there, you're not going to know what all's going to happen. You don't hear about the late nights. You don't get to bed until 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, having to get it back up at 5:30. I started to understand this much of what it's like to be a mother. It's interesting. The first several months can be characterized by learning the ropes, getting to know my co-chief and my group. It's common for there to be a testing period in that time, and my group was no exception. For some of the older groups, they would tend to accept him and kind of be fine for a month, around a month, and then they would really start putting the screws to this new chief and seeing what he's made of. How is he going to respond when I absolutely refuse to do this? Or how is he going to respond when I call him the 7 or 8 different cuss words that I have stirred up in my memory? What's he going to do when I poke a boy kind of under the table or where chief can't see me? And the other guy goes and hits me. How's chief going to respond in all these kind of situations? How's he going to respond when I refuse to solve my problem, when the group wants to get back into a meal desperately? How's he going to respond when I refuse to want to go to bed, either because I have a bad attitude or because I'm scared? Those are all the different types of things that that a boy will test the chief out with. My group, they didn't wait that long. They waited a few days. And it was interesting right from the get-go. One thing that I do notice now is that if I wasn't grounded well in God or in good communication with my co-chief or other staff, supervisors, it was easy for me to mishandle a situation or not lead well through it. Sometimes that would be making the wrong call or just not going the right direction. So in those first few months, we had river trips, we went out on a lake, did some camping. It was a lot of fun. I learned a lot, went through some trying experiences with my group, and yeah, it was really interesting. This is after a 3-week river trip that we took up in Pennsylvania. We hadn't trimmed our beards for quite a while. We were really happy to get back into civilization. At around 8 months of being at camp, this would have been January of 2014, my co-chief Cliff graduated. His time at camp came to an end. A chief will graduate, or a camper will graduate. That's what that means. That was a hard time in my life because I didn't fully have the confidence that I could lead my group and help out a new co-chief. I was scared, and I didn't quite know how to express it. And there was no way out of it. I couldn't back down, and I don't know if that's part of my stubbornness, but I knew that I was going to stick in there and come what may. We had a lot of really good times through some of those transitions, even though a lot of them were really hard. Other things that we did as a group were making progress in ways that we did things, doing better, not raising Cain. How many of you guys have heard raising Cain? Yeah, it's when everything breaks loose, kind of. And my group was kind of notorious for doing that up in central area where everybody could see, or if they couldn't see, they could definitely hear. The several months that I have a picture of Chief Lewis and I here, I believe. Oh, this was the night before Chief Cliff left. It was a very bittersweet evening. That was one of my co-chiefs, Chief Lewis. He was from New York. And we were together from about January until early June, if I'm not mistaken. The several months that Chief Lewis spent in our group was probably the most trying period of my camp stay. There were a variety of factors that made group life not fun to be in. The group didn't respect him at all, and even though he is one of the nicest and most caring guys I know, his personality wasn't authoritative or forceful enough to really thrive as a chief. And because of that, camp decided to transition him out of the group and into the thrift store. Just for the record, it wasn't because he was doing things wrong. It's just the dynamics, it wasn't working. And that was really tough because we had gone through a lot together. And thankfully, we are great friends. We communicate on a regular-ish basis. Um, That decision and the graduation of a few campers that were had been there the longest helped to change the atmosphere of the group. Marvin and Rhoda, this was around the time that Justin was kind of learning to supervise in late spring and early summer. And so there was a month or two gap, or a month or so gap, where I had no official co-chief. That was tough, because there had been a lot of times when I had made some mistakes in how I handled a boy. We had set some plans up with how we could keep things safe in the group. But then that transition really helped to set some new standards in how the Trailblazers, that was my group, how the Trailblazers were going to act and how we were going to take care of each other. So another supervisor was able to help us and chief the group so that I could have normal off duties. So I would usually have my off duties Fridays and Saturdays, and so he would have the group Sunday and Monday and part of Tuesday. But that meant that from Tuesday evening to Friday morning, about 80 to 85% of the time, I had the group all to myself. That meant cooking meals down trail. We would cook two days down in our cook tent. Those would be Wednesday and Thursday. And it's difficult enough to lead a group sometimes without having to, you know, cook a meal. Even if your co-chief is there and he'll cook the meal, it's still difficult. But then I had to learn to find new ways of how to lead my group and still send a few boys up there and supervise them in making our meal, because that was kind of a big thing. Other boys, if the meal's not ready on time and stuff's not made quite right, there's going to be some fussing happening. That time stretched me in so many ways. I learned more ways to fully take ownership, to lead better, and to truly enjoy my group. One thing that chiefs are told often is don't live for your off duties. That's hard, because sometimes it feels like you're just stuck down trail with 10 boys who don't want to listen, and it feels like you just can't get ahead. But you know that two of those days out of that week, you're going to be with three other chiefs, maybe some thrift store guys, and that you can connect in a different way. And it's really hard to not just look forward to that and slack off on what you're doing right then. But that was something that I truly learned to enjoy, being on duty and be happy with where I was at with the group. This was some of the types of things that I learned to do by myself with the group. Just take them up and have fun doing different random things. So I got a new co-chief around the middle of July. My new co-chief turned out to be a godsend. Our personalities clicked, and he did so well with the group, and they responded really well. I had lots of happy daydreams in those few months of how much fun we're going to have for the next 11 months. That is Michael, or Evan, as we knew him better, Stahlsfuss, also from New York. He was a little younger than I, and he had a great personality, fun-loving, but very caring, very nurturing. I think part of the reason why it went so well for us in the group with him transitioning in is because not having a co-chief for a month, month and a half around there, it was hard, and we really missed having that second guy down there. And so we kind of took to each other like white on rice. It was great. The group just took to him and bonded really well. Unfortunately, we were only able to enjoy about 2 months together, and those were some of the happiest times of my life. It was kind of hard to kind of reminisce and think back of all that stuff that happened, in the kind of almost 2 years ago. But there were some, even through all that pain and stuff, there were some really good things that happened. This would have been, what I'm about to tell you is about what have happened in around the middle of August. He got a staph infection on his leg from a bad bump. He had kicked a log, and this infection just never healed. It weakened his immune system so that when we were on a canoe trip in Georgia, his health deteriorated quickly. He couldn't see right, splitting headaches, upset stomach. It was really bad. And Chief Justin had spent a few days to start the river trip out with us, And on about the third day, he went back to camp. And so he started getting really bad around day five or six. The one day, we just stayed in our campsite all most of the day because he was so weak. We managed to paddle for about 45 minutes that afternoon. He had enough energy when we got to our new campsite. It was raining. To help me set up a tarp so that our fire wouldn't go out, help get a fire started, cook supper, and then he was trash. I mean, he had no energy left. So I put the group to bed, you know, fed them. We wrote our articles for the day, and then we went to bed. I have never felt such desperation in my life because we didn't have anything in our little first aid box to take care of him, and he was in really bad shape. So we managed to contact back to camp. We were close enough to a boat access that Chief Justin and another supervisor were able to drive down there, pick him up, take him to a hospital, and then Chief Justin finished out the trip with us. He was in the hospital until late October. He had everything, what seemed to me everything between ARDS, the ARDS, and sepsis. I mean, all kinds of infections. His body could not recover from anything. There were several times that he got a little better, he could walk around, but then he never got better. There was a procedure where he had to be moved from one oxygen machine to another one, and fully understanding the risks, he ended up dying throughout that transition. That would have been October 29th of 2014. That was also probably the hardest news I've ever heard. The boys were in siesta after lunch. I was sitting in my tent, and our director and a few supervisors came down and broke the news. It was either Wednesday or Thursday, I don't remember. But thankfully, Mom and Dad were able to catch a ride out to New York for the funeral. We were able to be there together, and that was amazing. It was great meeting his family, sharing memories, but yeah, my boys had so many questions. They were trying to figure out why. One boy had accidentally fallen on his head when a branch broke. He was blaming himself, trying to figure out, did I kill Chief Evan? It took months, 4 or 5 months, maybe it was more like 3 months, before we finally stopped having to convince him that no, he did not do anything to Chief Evan that caused him to die. He was so dynamic that it left a huge hole at camp. One interesting thing, or a good thing that came out of it, is that one of his distant cousins and good friend decided to come to camp because of that, and he actually took my place. That was one really good thing. Another chief of, I think he was from South Carolina, that was one thing that helped him make a decision to go to camp. Chief Evan's older brother is a chief at camp right now. There's a lot of good things that happened through that. This was one of his first few days at camp. It was Brian's chief's party. It was the night before he was set to go home, so get some snacks and hang out in chief's tent and stuff. Between the time that Chief Evan died and I got a new co-chief, it was another month and a half. I don't remember exact how long it was. And it was during that time, I think, that I fully, I guess the best way to describe it is came into my own. I fully just, I grabbed the ball and I ran with it. I was able to lead my group in ways that I didn't know was really possible. My group responded in ways I didn't really know was possible before. Part of that is because when I was on off duty, then supervisors would take turns to chief the group during my absence. So that helped a lot. That helped a lot to raise the bar of the group culture that we had, and also it helped us to bond in ways that we never were able to either before. So God provided me with a third co-chief, Spencer Hosteller. He's from Plain City, Ohio, but I just remember I need to show a few pictures of Chief Evan, if you get the rear light there. He's in the back corner over there. All right, get the light back on, please. This was one of those times when I led plans by myself, one of the many times that I did. And we learned to get good at it. There was one time where we were the very first group to get done with our plans and get up into the central area early for supper, and we were able to play a game. That was one of those really amazing moments when the whole group was really excited about it. And it set some standards where we could always point back to that in the next, who knows how, you know, next several months and say, hey guys, remember how when we only had one chief, we were able to do that. Let's go to work here. So Spencer Hostetler, he was originally set to go to a different group, but things got switched around and he joined us. We hit it off very well and he learned quickly. There we go. It was nice to have consistent stability in the group again. Those last 6 months at camp after he joined us, it was more like 7 months, were amazing. I had progressed a lot as a chief and I had a really good relationship with the group. We were able to do things off property that we wouldn't have been able to do before. For example, going seeing a museum, several different things like that. And the last little bit at camp, it was hard to wrap up. I had built a lot of relationships in those 2 years, and it was kind of scary to think of leaving it all. Because one thing, there's a security at camp, because you know that you're going to be there for X amount of time, you know who your co-chief is going to be, and you know the problems that you're going to face. You know that you're going to have crazy times with your group. You know that you're going to have good times with your group. And think of leaving that after being so accustomed to it. It's kind of a jolt. But thankfully, matters were left in capable hands after I left. And from what I hear, the group is doing well. I'll take a few questions now, and then we have to race to the last section of pictures. Was there a hand over here before?
I was just going to ask about the explanation on your bathroom pictures with the toothbrushes and so on.
Okay. It's a way to prevent mold. If we have the toothbrushes in any other way, then sunlight can't get to them. It's the same concept with the dishes out in the open where the sun can hit it, can bleach it, so the rain can hit it. But yeah, each boy has his own spot. There's a little hole drilled in there for his toothbrush. There's a slot to put his toothpaste in and a little peg to put his cup on. We'll brush our teeth. In the morning, we'll wake up, do our tent chores, make our beds, sweep everything out, and then come out and brush your teeth. Then after every other meal, then you also go brush your teeth. So boys learned how to keep their teeth clean. It was nice. Anyone else? Yes. Every so often. It's kind of seldom, but I've messaged one of the boys on Facebook several times, but it's kind of difficult. Once you've kind of gone your separate ways, you put your heart into another set of boys, they go back to their families, and you tend to forget some things. You tend to sometimes forget some of the worst things and only remember the good. It kind of depends there. All right, I'll take your question yet, and then we got to move along. Right. Thanks for pointing that out. Group dynamics is sometimes really good, sometimes it's really bad. If you have a good group culture, then you know that the boys that have been there the longest, older campers, when we talk about older campers versus younger campers, it's talking about length of camp stay. So it's really nice as a chief to know that a few of your older campers can be counted on to either give a good word of advice or to stand there and help out the circle up by not causing trouble. That is one thing that tends to make a problem last longer than it really has to is by campers who have short attention spans, that are bored, or that are just frankly ticked off at Frank because he won't solve his problem. And that's where you start going around in circles. If a chief does not know where he wants to go with the problem, it is so easy to start stamping out fires, start losing his attention with the first guy who had the original problem, and start going after the guys that are playing with sticks, going to the guy who wants to walk away, going at the guys who just want to yell at the guy in a problem and say, why don't you just solve your problem? It is so easy just to go around in circles. Sometimes a problem can last for several hours if it's not led properly. When all you would have to do is, it's just, hey, whoa, hold up, guys. We're not talking about that. We need to focus here. Or if guys just simply won't focus, then you start walking. You can put on a lot of miles with three lanterns and 11 people in a line. When it starts getting to 11, 12, 1 o'clock at night, the boys who have watched too many horror movies start getting freaked out, and it's really interesting. Yeah, I've spent hours hiking around the dark woods because of a group not wanting to tune in, to listen, or the boy just wanting to hold out. Sometimes the boy is holding out because the thing that he's struggling with, a dad that was never there, or a mom that gave him up to social services, stuff like that, anger and feelings, they don't really know what to do with. And it will take hours for them to finally either get tired enough or scared enough of the dark or whatever, or walking through too many spider webs, for him to finally break down and come to grips with what he's feeling, with what he's mad about. That is one side of the problem. A lot of times, if boy A knows that his group really wants to get back to that activity they're going to do, sometimes he'll solve his problem pretty quickly because he wants to get back to it. Sometimes he'll see this as an opportunity. Oh, I'm going to get my group over the barrel, and so I'm just going to hold out here and see what they'll do. And so then it's up to the group to decide, hey, are we going to fall apart and go raise Cain, or are we going to trust that Chief is going to lead us back to the thing that we want to do? Does that kind of make sense? Sometimes you have really good group dynamics. Sometimes you can spend the better parts of 30 minutes just trying to get into a circle up where no one's messing around. It can be extremely frustrating. Yeah, you can turn the light back off. That's Sunday morning chapel. I believe that was a red velvet cake, and we had crumbled some extra graham crackers and chocolate on the top of it. I have never been a fan of red velvet cake, but I made it quite often. We had one session, we had a derby car tournaments, something like that, and so sometimes each boy carved their own derby car, or sometimes, like that one on the left, the chief carved it out and said, don't do anything, just sand it. Some boys are a lot better at carving than others. Some boys had some really cool ones. The next 4 to 7 pictures are going to be a different critters that I encountered at camp. I have no idea what kind of spider it is, but it's really cool. That was on our hiking trip. The last few months I was at camp, the boy holding that rattlesnake was at the front of the line, and he said, Chief, can I catch this snake? And Chief Spencer says, what kind is it? And by this time, this rattlesnake had struck at his walking stick. And so I was at the far back of the line, about 40 feet back, and I hear cries of, snake, snake, Chief! And so I haul up there, find out what's going on. Of course, we had to stop and take a video of it, because that's just what you do. And so I grabbed my walking stick and flattened its head. I've never seen a snake die so quickly and then not move afterwards. Little sidebar here. When I first got to camp, we had done a little on-property camping trip. We left, took all of our gear, and some of the supervisors had been walking around the area where our tents were. They found a 3-foot copperhead. They killed it, and 3 hours later, its heart was still beating. Interesting things like that. That's a skunk. I was woken up between 4:45 and 5:15 in the morning. I don't remember exactly what time it was, but there was skittering around in my tent. And so I took a picture of that thing. It wasn't as bad as a chief that woke up with a skunk on his chest. They couldn't sleep in that tent for several weeks. That is one of two possums that I caught. I don't know what they were doing there, but yeah. Some kind of a bird. That was the first long river trip that I took. It was a king snake that was about as tall as I am. This is a wolf spider, female, with a large egg sac. This was on a hiking trip, and one of the boys found all these trout eggs. It was really cool. It was on a rock. Boys love grubbing around in murky water for salamanders and any other types of critters. That was on that river trip that I took down in Georgia. Boy had come back from using the restroom, and he said, "Chief, there's a snake." So we had to go get the snake, of course. And so I had pinned it down with my shovel and was working my hand up, and it slowly decides to come around and bite my knuckle. So I was kind of prying it loose there. Also, on the Okmulgee River in Georgia. It was really cool. I was close enough that I could have reached my paddle out and hit it. Chief Justin found this massive tortoise. It was bigger than a dinner plate. One of the jolliest guys I've ever had. Also, one of the most potentially angry ones. That's a little panorama I took of the Chattooga River on a hiking trip. Water was just crystal clear and ice cold. It was great. That was one of my last full days at camp. That was when Aaron and Alicia were there. We were playing some games. We saw a lot of those on our hiking trip. And some of these pictures you can see the different order, structure, routine things that we make sure that we do in our campsites. That's a chickie that we built, basically just a lean-to with a bunch of palmetto branches strewn over it. This was, by the way, in Florida in January. It was great. You'd get up to sometimes 80 degrees in the daytime. Get down to about freezing in the evening. You would pack a bunch of cargo. Sometimes it would be wrapped in a tarp and would be about the level of the top of the canoe there. And then you would stack three boys on top of that. It got kind of top heavy. We'd get on the river sometimes between 9 and 10 o'clock, stop for lunch, and then paddle on till 4:30 in the evening. You'd spend a lot of hours in a canoe with four boys. You learn how to really pass the time. It makes road trips seem really easy. Stopping for a break. For those of you who don't know, put chocolate chips in your pancakes. It's phenomenal. All right, I'm going to talk a little bit. I am close out of time, but I think it's worth it. A few of the things that I enjoyed about camp, especially, were the outdoors, both on duty and off duty. We had plenty of places to go hiking, swimming, fishing, jumping off with rope swings, etc. The relationship aspect, the relationships that you could have between a camper and a chief, the relationships that you could develop between co-chiefs, And also the relationship you could get between a chief and a supervisor, which was very often in a mentor capacity. Each chief generally had a supervisor that he would go to for advice, for whenever he wanted to talk about stuff. One thing that was really amazing was seeing a boy develop and open up about his problems and his past hurts, going through tough times with the group and growing closer together through it. A lot of those things that were really hard to go through at the time, but when you look back later, you can realize, oh, that was amazing. That was really good. Learning the how structure and routine will help you thrive in different areas of life that you wouldn't have realized that are affected by structure and routine. Each boy learns to make his bed in the morning. Because of that, without even thinking about it, I make my bed every morning. It's an unconscious habit. One thing that's really important for a chief is to help guys make their beds, so you make a lot of beds in 2 years. I'll take maybe two questions, if there are any, and then close out with this video. Okay. This was in February, about a year and a half ago, and one thing that we do as a camp, I think it's every year, is to have a Boy Scout-inspired camporee. It's basically a camping trip with all four groups in it. This time, this year, we had it on camp property because it snowed more than what we were used to, and so being off property in little flimsy, you know, tents wasn't going to cut it. So we had the one event on this day was Woodsman Olympics. We had some wood splitting, we had carrying a large log, and this one was cutting logs with a crosscut saw. Of course, we had to get the two supervisors to, you know, show what they could do. The two guys that are cutting had been chiefs together about 10 years ago, and so they know each other very well and love feeding off each other and creating a good time. So, like I said early in the evening, this video will show you kind of a spirit that you can often have at camp and the fun that we'll often have. And we're not getting sound, so. There's lots of shouting, and these guys are showboating for all they're worth. Making sure they get a starting cut. Make sure it saw doesn't jump out. Remember, this is February, and it was kind of cold. If you've never run a crosscut saw before, you never want to push. It's bad things happen. All right, that is what I have. Aaron, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Arlen, for sharing those stories and pictures.